Some would call this Holy Week, and I'll be honest, I feel very unworthy to be able to preach some of the things that this week brings to mind. The triumphal entry, Palm Sunday. But if you would, take your Bibles and turn to the book of Matthew chapter 21. We'll begin reading at verse 1 in just a moment. Let us stand together if you're able, and we'll begin reading at verse 1, Matthew 21. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, that being Jesus and the disciples, and were come to Bethpage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, the Lord hath need of them. And straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. Dear Heavenly Father, as we think about the fact that you entered the city of Jerusalem knowing that in just a few short days you would be betrayed, mocked, beaten, scourged, stripped, put upon a cross, and would die. Lord, as the world mocks Christians, Lord, may we remain strong in the faith. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. We'll begin reading at verse 7 down through verse 11. And brought the ass and the colt and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. May we note that the death of Jesus was by no means a mistake, nor was it a miscalculation on the part of the Holy Trinity. In the book of Luke chapter 9, and I'll read to you verses 51 through verse 56, and it says, and it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. When he knew it was time, you may remember on a number of occasions, they came to kill him, to stone him, to cast him over a high place, and he would pass through their midst. Now it is time. And steadfastly he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them even as Elias did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. You can say amen right there. And they went to another village. The book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 28 says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock which he hath purchased with his own blood." He paid the price for our redemption. Isaiah chapter 50, verses 6 and 7. "I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed." Jesus was going to Jerusalem for a purpose. There was a price that must be paid. That price for your redemption, for my redemption. And Jesus, as he makes his way to Jerusalem, makes a stop in Bethany, if you remember, to raise Lazarus from the dead. This will be one more reason for the religious leaders to hate Jesus, and they even conspired to put Lazarus to death. Even though Jesus knew that his physical death was drawing near, he took time to talk to the rich young ruler. He gave sight to a blind man as they entered Jericho, and he brings salvation to the household of Zacchaeus. And then as they leave Jericho, he stops and hears Bartimaeus begging to be healed of his blindness, and Jesus took the time to heal him. Jerusalem. Some say that it is the center of the three great religions of the world, that of Judaism, that of the Muslims, and that of Christianity. Jesus has sent two of his disciples to get a donkey for transportation. And now as he enters the city, they are declaring and they are fulfilling the prophecy of Zechariah 9:9, where it says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding on an ass." An ass is smaller than a horse, has long ears, is also known as a donkey. A donkey is basically a domestic ass, one that has been trained and one that has been bred to do work. And then you know of what is called a mule. That is a hybrid between a horse and an ass. And so we find here that a donkey is gotten. And I would like you to see in your mind's eye, see Jesus riding on this borrowed donkey. Did you ever notice that Jesus borrowed a lot of things? That he used what man had to offer? What are we offering the Lord? What are we willing to give? What are we willing to put to his work? It's Passover time. The streets are packed with people. Can you hear the merchants as they're promoting their wares? Can you smell the odors of that city so many years ago? The garlic, the onions, the animals and what the animals do, the sweaty bodies. Listen, do you hear it? Do you hear the chants? Hosanna to the Son of David. They were claiming that Jesus was in the royal line. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Jesus is God. Jesus came for a purpose. God estranged with God, the songs was that we just sang. Because God became sin. Whose sin? Your sin? and my sin. And God, being so holy, could not look on God. And do you remember what God the Father did? He turned his back. Hosanna. You mean save us now. Folks, we live in a world that needs to be saved. I was listening this morning to the news, and they were talking about some of the marches that are being taking place around the country about gun control. And one person they interviewed said, it's not a march, it's a movement. Folks, we need Christianity to get moving again. We need to be alive because we serve a risen Savior. More about that next week. One of the dangers of praise and worship is the emotion. And emotions change quickly. Have you ever been excited about something only moments later to be in the depths of despair? Well, if you follow certain sports teams, you'll find that you will go from, wow, this is great, and the Detroit Lions can grab defeat out of the jaws of victory. But the fact of the matter is this, we've all been at some place where we were excited about what was going on, only to fall and plummet quickly. Can you imagine? On Sunday, they're crawling for him to save them. And a few days later, they're saying, crucify him. Crucify him. Can you feel the excitement? And when he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? This past Tuesday, a baby was born, and I'm trying to find out what, well, it is. Well, was it a male? Was it a female? What was the name? And all I'm getting is, well, the baby's been born, but that's all we're going to tell you. And I sent Donna a text that's kind of saying, well, what are you talking about? Well, they knew what it was, but apparently they wanted their daughters to know first. Do I understand that? They wanted the daughters, even before the mother? Yeah. But there was excitement. Number one, Tuesday we knew the baby was going to be taken. Caesarean. Now the baby's born, and I'm thinking to myself, they're just trying to make us beg. How long did they make you wait, Debbie? About 7 o'clock that night, they finally told you. Well, I'm glad they did. You had the girls. But what brings excitement to you? Does Jesus bring excitement to you? And the multitude said, this is Jesus. In Luke chapter 19, and in this telling of the story, Luke says that the Pharisees demanded that Jesus silence the crowds, to which he said, if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. May I say this, the universe cries out that there is a God. That we are not here by accident, that we are not here by chance, that there is a reason and a purpose. In John 12, verse 19, it says, the Pharisees therefore said among themselves, perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him. I wish that were more true today. Satan has done a first-rate job of confusing the world. Satan has given us religion. Don't you think religion is causing an awful lot of tension in our society today? Absolutely. Satan wants us to be confused. Satan wants us to believe that money is the issue or that knowledge is the issue, when the real issue is that every man and woman has a void in their lives that only Jesus Christ can fill. And on that day, as he entered the city, there was a void in each and every one of the visitors and in those who resided there. And only Jesus could fill that void. Religion will never fill the void. It leaves us feeling empty. Jesus, creator of the universe. Jesus, lover of our souls. When my wife is gone for any period of time, and as you know, a number of the ladies went down to Sugar Creek, Ohio, and enjoyed a woman's retreat. And so Donna had gotten up Friday, and she was getting prepared and packing the car and left. Well, she didn't feed the dogs. Now, let me ask you this. When I brought the food, who did they like better? I mean, they loved Donna. But who did they love better? I tell you what, I had the food. I had the food. We give them mixtures of dog food. Whatever's on sale, that's what I buy so that the dogs can eat. And once in a while, there'll be a dented can of Iams. I'm not going to ask you if you've ever had any, but it smells pretty good. And so Donna's gone, and I broke open a can. The dogs go nuts. You know, dogs can smell a whole lot better than us. Well, I hope they really don't smell better than us. And I tell you what, I dish out it because Casey gets the most. He's the biggest of the dogs. And then we give some to Bandit. And Oreo, well, she's kind of chunky. We were at the doctor's the other day and for the dogs, the vet. And she weighs more than her brother, who's her twin. But I must admit, they all wanted the food. So I gave them the food, and they just go crazy over that. Satan's desire is to make us go crazy over lesser things. But the most important thing in our lives is Jesus Christ. Jesus is the greatest of gifts. Jesus, our Redeemer and Savior of our souls. Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus, is he a liar? Or a lunatic? Or is he Lord? Now, we gather together here this morning, and we believe, on the most part, that he is Lord. But you know, there are many people in our world that believe he was a liar, that he was a deceiver, that he was not who he said he was, and that the Bible lies. There are those that say he was a lunatic. If you were to go to an insane asylum and you would go and walk through the hallways, you might find Jesus Christ there. Well, what do you mean? Well, there are people who think they're Christ, that think they're Jesus, and they think that Jesus was a lunatic. But I tell you this morning, he is Lord. He is Lord. The book of Romans chapter 10, if you'd like to turn there, Romans chapter 10. We've just come through a mission conference, and I do hope that you enjoyed the time with the missionaries that were here. And there were a few leftover hot enchiladas, Dr. Mark, and I quickly grabbed them and took them home. Anytime you feel like experimenting, let me know. I'll be glad to eat some of the experimenting. But I enjoyed the mission conference. I enjoyed the enthusiasm of the young men and women. There needs to be an excitement about Jesus Christ. And it says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you understand that? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they preach? Excuse me, and how shall they hear without a preacher? Would you say that the most important information in all the world is that Jesus saves? I mean, there's a lot of good things that are out there, and it's good to know. And as I wear this boot again on my foot, and some of you are wondering if it will ever come off, you're not asking anything that I haven't asked. And the doctor has done different things. He's given me the shots, and I'm now wearing the boot. And he told me the other day, if you're ready for surgery, just let me know, and we'll take care of it for you. I'll be honest with you. Come and tell me what I should do. Because I want to know. Have the surgery and get it over with. There you go, right down here. But as good as that information may be, Laura, the greatest information is knowing Jesus Christ. And yet how many people in the world today do not know of Jesus Christ? One of the families that came is going to China, and they can't go to China as a missionary. They have to go as something else. They will first go as students to learn Chinese. And then I was told they probably will run a tourist business. So you can go to China and they can take you around, but their real ministry is to win souls of Jesus Christ. How shall they preach unless they're sent? That's our job, to send them. If you would, Philippians chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2 beginning at verse 5. And as we ponder what Jesus Christ was willing to do before the foundation of the world, it was known that he would die. Let's read what it says in verse 5 through 11, Philippians chapter 2. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. At this point in time, what was in the mind of Jesus? His death. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The Apostle Paul was beheaded. Jesus Christ was crucified. Which was a more merciful execution? The beheading, because it's over like that. You kneel down, you put your head down, and whack, it's over. To be crucified, that was a terrible thing. Let alone the beating that he endured and the crown of thorns on his head. But to be hanging on a cross, mocked by people, laughed at. And he knows he's dying for a purpose, and Satan and the demons are screaming at him about being a fool. What is man that he's worthy of your death? Verse 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. to the glory of God the Father. The Apostle Paul effectively took all the titles of every so-called God and deity and said to the Philippians, Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord. He entered the city of Jerusalem many years ago for one reason. Not so we'd have chocolate bunnies. Not that we would dress up special, but so that we could have salvation. Amen. Shall we stand together? Our song of invitation is Just As I Am. And that's how he wishes that we would come. Come as we are and let him change us. Save our soul. Make it so that we will serve him. Dear Heavenly Father, as we have this time of invitation, we ask, Lord, that you would bless. Let the Spirit move and convict and touch hearts. Lord, may your name be honored and glorified. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.